One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how are you doing on this fine day?
Hola, I'm doing all right, yeah, just hanging out. I've just got out of the shower, and I am wearing
just
a hoodie. Just get out of the shower.
Good.
It's the morning time for me, isn't it? It's the evening for you. You know, you're a busy boy, I'm a busy boy, got things to do, people to see, yeah?
Busy boys
showers
all round.
To do.
Busy
yep.
Boys. Mm. I'm sad. I'm sad, Pete. Do you
oh,
know why I'm sad?
Sad? Why are you sad?
I think I'm sad. Because you're not here for Halloween. It's Halloween coming up, right, next week. And
nuts.
Nearly every other year, you do come over and get stuck into the festivities in Shibuya and the madness. What are you going to do this year for Halloween? How are you going to celebrate?
Well, I mean, we're in a tier two lockdown, so probably very little, to be quite frank. Yeah, it's going to be very... My movements around Halloween are going to be very limited, unfortunately.
Oh, going to get a pumpkin and just sit next to a pumpkin on the chair?
Just sit next to a pumpkin. Yeah,
drunk
just
drink,
have a bit of booze with a pumpkin. Drink booze out of a pumpkin. That's all I've got planned in the garden.
To be fair, that sounds more fun than walking around Shibuya at night, getting caught up in a crowd of people, to be honest. I did the Halloween in Tokyo only once, believe it or not, and it was good. I don't know if I'll do it again. I think my party days are behind me. I am 30, but as you always joke, I'm a 49 year old man. I'm top gear, yes. I think my fun days are behind me, but I don't think they're actually doing much for Halloween this year. What I do know is, do you remember, I think it was last year or the year before, that some foreigners and some Japanese people, I think the foreigners took the heat too badly, tipped over a lorry or something ridiculous. They just knocked over a car or a lorry. And then the police were like, right, no more fun, no more alcohol, no more fun, and kind of ruined Halloween in Tokyo. Is that what happened? Am I making that
it was,
up?
It was a couple of years ago. Yeah, they knocked over a van, a small van, at that.
Ah, that's
still
right,
a van nonetheless. But yeah, it was a bit rough on it. Just people being stupid,
poor van.
Stupid idiots.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame, but they had a big old crackdown. And we'll get on to the Japanese police later on because that's coming up in terms of some interesting news. Before that though. I'm also in a good mood, so I'm sad that you're not here, but I'm also, on the flip side, rather happy because this week we launched the series, or rather the trailer for the series, for Journey Across Japan 2, Escape to Mount Fuji. Now, I gave you a week in advance sneak peek at the trailer. What were your thoughts on the series? What did you see in there, Pete?
It was beautifully cut together. I very much like the fact that Natsuki is wearing spectacles throughout, so it looks like he's the cinematic director of the whole experience, which is very enjoyable.
Natsuki with glasses. He looks at least thrice as impressive, doesn't he, when he's wearing glasses? He looks smart.
He looks
humbled.
He looks almost sentient.
Sentient.
Yeah.
Oh man.
There's a spark of intelligence there.
Oh, poor old Natsuki. It makes him look younger, I think. I think the glasses make him look younger.
Yeah, I agree. Massively. Yeah. Completely agree.
But we kind of went for a horror vibe with the trailer. I say we. I did cut the damn thing. a lot of the first few days of the trip when we were joined by Natsuki, we did go to some really quite eerie and unpleasant places, like the abandoned Love Hotel, the forgotten 800 statues in a field in a forest in Toyama, the like forgotten quarry as well. So it was all kind of really unpleasant and scary the first 2 days of the trip. And so I turned that, kind of channeled that into the trailer. Did you get to see did you catch sight of the abandoned Love Hotel in the trailer?
Yes, it was very spooky. I don't like that there was like weird serving hatches in every room, which scared me. If you'd have told me that you were inside the Japanese pyramid that you discovered, I wouldn't have been surprised, quite frankly. It looked like a deserted home of a pharaoh.
Deserted home of the pharaoh. There was a gigantic bed in the shape of a heart with a broken TV on it and a drawing of a woman who is pregnant, which had been ripped in half and covered in red crayons. It was mental.
Chilling.
That is the new series coming out. We start, I think, on 29th of October. So keep an eye out, folks. It's going to be out, and the trailer will be out in a few days before then. It should be out several days after this podcast. We now turn our attention to the story of the week. We have got a story from Pete. Pete from Canada. Is that a good name, Pete? Hi, Chris and Pete. My wife and I have been watching the channel and listening to the podcast for years to help us plan our own trips to Japan. On our honeymoon last year, we found this flyer for a local bakery in Takayama in our Airbnb. We thought you'd enjoy the description of the bread. Also, while listening to you talking about your new Journey Across Japan Escape to Mount Fuji series, I realized you missed a golden opportunity to call the series Crisscrossing Japan. Keep up the great work with all your content, Pete from Canada. Crisscrossing Japan. I remember
he's got you there.
When, which is it a good name? What do you reckon?
I like it. I really like it. And I know you have to keep up the keep up the Journey Across Japan sort of style guide, but I do like that. I do like that title very much.
I remember when we were coming up with the branding or the name for Journey Across Japan, which I think I came up with the name for that. I think I'm going to take credit for that. Mm. I was talking over with Chris Okino, who was a big part of the project back when we did the original one 2 years ago. And I think he wanted to call it Abroad on a Bike. And I was like, no, that's not happening. It's Abroad on a Bloody Bike.
That anyway, works.
It doesn't work. It doesn't. We got this. So this is the leaflet for the bread, the bakery in Takayama. Beautiful town, which we passed through on Journey Across Japan this season. Welcome. Please, the delicious bread for breakfast. We have prepared the most delicious bread to your breakfast in Takayama. This bread is healthy bread using the olive oil by the allergic correspondents that removed an egg, milk, more. God, the bread of this shop has splendid feelings. Wow, the bread can feel. Using the domestic wheat baked in a full-fledged firewood kiln. The baguette trained itself in France. Please, a safe and delicious bread, peace of mind. Boulangerie Noboria, delicious bread. Wow, there's a lot to
it's
unpack
adorable.
There.
I enjoy the fact that the bread trained itself in France. It's very enjoyable.
This image of a baguette training itself in France. It's beautiful, isn't it? Beautiful.
Yeah.
I am sad. We passed through Takayama on the third day of Journey Across Japan, Escape to Fuji. I am gutted that I did not see this bakery because it seems like a rather... The bread looks nice. The photo of the baguette looks good. Given it's baked itself, rather edible.
Done very well.
Now, this week on Twitter, there's been a funny video doing the rounds, which I retweeted just before this podcast. And it involved some Japanese police trying to break into an ultra left wing political organization. Have you seen this video, Pete? Have you unpacked it? Have you witnessed it?
I have indeed. I have indeed. It is insanely good. They're trying to get the police have been called to break into a building of, as you said, a left-wing organization, political organization, and they've turned up. And instead of like a really hot like welding torch to get in or whatever, you know those torches that you can cut
blowtorch,
really thick steel blowtorch sort of things. They've turned up. They've rocked up with what can only be described as a circular saw. And this policeman or policewoman is trying to get in with this circular saw. And honestly, it's not doing anything. It's like literally just taking the paint off the door. And then about halfway through the attacking this door with this crappy circular saw, like just three blocks from said organization, just open a door next door and go, what the hell are you doing? just walk through the door, you idiots.
It's all rather bizarre. When there's a crime in Japan, what you find tends to happen is the police swarm the location or the person or whatever. In this case, 100 police officers, right? And as you said, they're just standing there watching the circular saw attempt to cut down this large metal door, not working. But just the way the guys inside just casually open the side door, which is right next to the gigantic door they're trying to cut into. And the way they come out, hand in pockets, like, what are you doing? And he actually sort of nudges the police officer and he's like, well, get away, what are you doing? But even better is when the police do finally break in, they go in an orderly queue and they check their temperatures one by one before they go into the building, right? Brilliant. No virus.
It looks all very organised, but also a little bit Keystone Cops, just not being able to get their shit together. It's well worth a watch. Get it retweeted, Chris.
Absolutely. It reminds me of my first time in Osaka. When I was in Osaka, I was just walking down the street and I saw a guy, just a lone guy, who was having an altercation with no less than 20 police officers. They created like a semicircle around him. And I don't know the science behind this tactic or the strategy. I don't know if any of you guys listening know about this or can shed some light on why they do it, but it seems when there's an incident in Japan, they just keep calling cop cars. They just bring the whole police force. Like half of Osaka Police Department was trying to stop this one man. And he was being relatively calm, just standing there shouting a little bit, surrounded by 20 officers. I don't get it. And, you know, the Japanese police, it's all rather bizarre. Like my three run-ins with the police have all been rather tame. I got a speeding ticket when I was with you. And they apologised for pulling me over, even though I was technically speeding by a few kilometres per hour. I'll admit, I was guilty as charged. Pete Donaldson did it. I was trying to get Pete Donaldson to his train, so he takes the blame there. And another time was the police at my front door when he opened the door and said, I am Japanese policeman, in English, to welcome me to my neighbourhood. And the third time, I didn't even see them. They came and measured my car parking space. Back in April when I bought a car, because of course when you get a car in Japan you have to prove that your apartment's car parking space not only exists but is big enough for your car, and they turned up and measured it. But no, I have got quite a lot of friends who do get stopped in Tokyo though, and always remember, if you are a tourist in Japan, you do need your passport on you at all times. And in fact, even myself living here, I need to have some form of ID on me, my residence visa card as well. Otherwise, they can fine you, I think, $2,000 on the spot, 200,000 yen. So be advised, don't walk around Japan without ID. It might not end so well. But that being said, those three run-ins with the police have all been rather pleasant. They apologized, even though I was breaking the rules. They welcomed me to the neighborhood, and they've been quite nice about it. And I've never been ID'd in all the years that I've lived here, probably because I do live in the countryside. I suspect that's a big part of it. I don't think you've ever had any run-ins yourself, have you, Pete? You've been all right.
Yeah, I've had a couple. One, there was a bit of a fight, a bit of a scuffle in the bar that I was in, and they were taking out a white guy, they white thought guy, we were bro. Connected. But I managed to Chigai Mas and EA Tomodachi my way out of that one.
your go-to word in every situation.
That's my go-to word. Everything is a mistake, Chigaimas. Everything's a mistake. So yeah, there was that, and then there was also I think we were in Roppongi, which is obviously a place where a lot of people go and get pissed. We got a shakedown from the police, the most polite shakedown ever. It was so polite, you almost didn't mind your human rights being violated. Just, you know, you have drugs in Japan. Basically saying, if you have drugs that you have brought over, it is not good to take them, because it just basically said, if you take drugs in your own country, just remember that taking drugs in Japan is not legal. I did actually have a couple of stomach tablets in my pocket, so I had to explain them away. But did they look for ID? They may look for ID, but I think we all had ID on us because we've all got provisional driving license, because we're all just cool dudes not being able to drive, but we use provisional driving licenses as ID. So there is that. I don't feel comfortable taking my passport out with me, so I always carry my my provisional driving license. So that's one thing you can do. I think that still counts as ID, doesn't it?
I think so. I just love the idea of these battle-hardened white lads from the UK coming over here with their provisional driver's license and being like, no, no, not drugs, stomach tablets.
I've got a poorly tom-tom. I ate too much candy. I ate too much cans of soup. Too many cans of corn soup.
You and those horrible corn soup. Disgusting. It is Roppongi, though. Like, whenever you hear people getting stopped, it is Roppongi, and that's typically the place where bad things happen in Tokyo. They're in Shinjuku. So if you're going to get stopped anywhere in Tokyo, it probably is going to be Roppongi at some point or another. And just to go back to Pete's amazing words, what is the word chigaimasu, Pete, for those that don't know? This Swiss Army knife word that you use in every sentence when you're over here. Mistake.
I believe it means mistake.
Yeah, it kind of means like different or a mistake, right? So it's kind of misunderstanding. Like, oh, chigaimasu. No, it's different. It's not that. And in fact, we've talked about how people don't say no in Japan, right? Yeah, you know, people wouldn't say that. They might just say chigaimasu, right? So you kind of got it wrong, right? Is this the case? You'd be like, no, chigaimasu. It's different. It's different. It's more polite than saying no.
Okay.
But
I see.
Yeah. It's a useful word to have and get you out of many a sticky situation. Now, we love fax machines here on the Abroad in Japan podcast. We do have the fax machine every week, but it looks like the future could be nigh for the beloved fax machine. Interestingly, though, while sales of fax machines have declined in the US, they grew nearly 6% in Japan last year. And apparently a third of all households in Japan still own a fax machine. Nevertheless, the good old new Prime Minister Suga. I always read his name as Sugar in my head. It's literally S-U-G-A. Yes. Suga. Yoshihide Suga. I always read it as Sugar. I just like the idea the Prime Minister is Sugar, but he's not. It's Suga. He is trying to get rid of all these kind of outdated forms of technology, including the much-hated Hankor stamp personal seal, which I used no less than 6 times today to stamp a document. I hate Hankor stamps. Because I stamped a document, the first 3 stamps went well. The 4th stamp, it was kind of a half-hearted stamp, right? Like only half of my Hanko seal signature came off and it didn't look right. And then I had to flip over the paper to stamp the other side of it. I did it and it's just smudged all the bloody stamp ink on the first side. So I was so angry. So I bloody Hanko stamps. This podcast.
Mate, can you double Hanko?
I think you can, but like, the first year when I lived here and I used Hanko stamps, I had to do my car insurance and I stamped it, sent it off, and they sent it back all the way to me like 2 weeks later because they said my stamp wasn't good enough. They said I needed to do it again. And they sent a guy from the insurance company to watch over me as I re-stamped it to make sure I didn't do it wrong. Ridiculous.
It was your Hanko. Yeah. It was your... That's crazy. I read that apparently some Japanese people have to, if they're going to do their CV, they have to do it written themselves. Like they have to write it themselves. Does that make sense?
I'm not sure, actually. What do you mean?
To prove that you are of good breeding and that your writing is legible and good enough. Because you could have like some wrong-uns who can write really well and some right-uns who can't write very well due to a disability or something, I don't know.
Kind of makes sense.
Interesting.
But I mean, this is really outdated technology, I think. And they're trying to get rid of it, but there's a strong lobby against it. And there was a study by the Japan Research Institute that found 55,000 administrative procedures with the central government, only 4,000 of them, about 7.5%, could be completed entirely online. And 15,000 of them do require a Hanko stamp. And that is a lot of procedures that require a Hanko stamp. So the idea they're going to phase it out magically overnight seems like wishful thinking to me. And not only that, but there's a, you know, there's a big lobby, the Hanko stamp lobby as well, who are kind of sort of saying, you can't get rid of these. We need the Hankos. We need the stamps. So it's all rather ridiculous. And, you know, I get the idea. I get the point of holding onto tradition. And Japan is very conservative with its traditions. And I think that is a strong point of the country. It's held onto its culture. It's been westernized heavily, but there's still really strong culture in Japan. But I don't think that should come at the expense of practicality. I don't think, you know, I think you need to also have one eye to the future and move forward. And Hanko stamps and fax machines go hand in hand, right? Because you need to Hanko stamp the document, then stick it in the fax machine. And I don't know. I feel like it all needs to be gotten rid of. Sorry, Hanko stamp lobby.
Sorry, Hanko stamp. Yeah, I think I just worry that if we get rid of the if the Japanese get rid of the hanko stamp, you'll get rid of the culture of going to a tourist trap and having the opportunity to stamp your bit of paper, because that's really popular in Japan, where you're in a situation where, say, you're at Rabbit Island or whatever, and at the ferry terminus, it will have a little wet red ink pad and a little stamp, and you will stamp a bit of paper that, you know, if you've been, and you can collect these stamps as you go around Japan. And I think that's rather adorable. I'm scared we might lose that stamping culture if we get rid of the hanko.
I love the way you picked Rabbit Island ferry terminal. You plucked that out of your memory.
Yeah.
Have you been to the ferry terminal?
I remember. I've been at the ferry terminal at Rabbit Island. I mean, the thing that gets me is, like, you know, the Japanese have sort of said something like, you know, only 4,000, 6,000 forms can be filled in online. Like, Japan has got one of the best internet infrastructures in the world. Quickest, the most pervasive mobile phone connectivity everywhere as well. It's incredible, like an incredible infrastructure. But their websites are awful, absolutely dreadful. They look like they were made in the 80s.
Absolutely. It's really bizarre how Japan has got one hand kind of in the future, but one leg going backwards. It is a bizarre culture. And I guess that's another thing. We talked about kind of TV shows in Japan last week, right? And how they always start Shibuya Crossing. The TV personality wanders over and is confused. Another thing they always say is it's a really futuristic country, but it's also, juxtaposing that, it's also very traditional and backwards. And that is an accurate summary, to be honest. I do think Japan is very futuristic, and it's great with things like infrastructure and internet and phones, but they get things like software, they get websites wrong, they get hanko stamps, mainly just hanko stamps. Just, God, I hate them. I should just make a video dedicated to it. Just 20 minutes of me swearing, throwing hanko stamps out a window. Perfect.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. In our daily lives, we all carry around with us different stressors. They can be big, they can be small, and sometimes we might not even realize that we're carrying them around with us. But if these feelings stay bottled up, they can start to affect us negatively, which is why having a positive outlet for discussion can be such a valuable tool for your well-being. Therapy can be a perfect outlet for your inner stressors. It's a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Sometimes just speaking things out into the open can be such a great release of inner tension, so you can spend less time stressing about the issue and more time figuring out how you can overcome it. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Join me, Melissa Reddy, and listen to my brand new podcast, Between the Lines. I'll be speaking to the biggest names in football about the captivating, behind-the-scenes stories fans want to hear. From major talking points to untold anecdotes, you'll hear from some of football's leading stars as well as those working in the shadows. In our first episode, I spoke to former Spurs manager Maurizio Pochettino about that Amazon documentary.
We feel responsible because it was very difficult to say yes to open the door to Amazon. Only we watch with Jesus the 25 minutes first, because it was until we left the club.
And on our latest episode, I investigate how prevalent and damaging social media abuse is in football.
And I was like taking all this negativity onto myself, and I did. I kind of lost myself and my personality because I knew everything that was going on around it. And it's not until I actually got to a stage where I thought, I can't take this anymore. It is becoming too much for me, that I spoke out about it.
Craving football insight? Well, look no further. Listen to Between the Lines with me, Melissa Reddy, via Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever else you get your podcasts.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Speaking of fax machines being banned, we now turn our attention to the fax machine. What do we got in there this week, Mr. Dollison? What we got?
Torturous, absolutely torturous. Dan says, all right, boys, my name's Dan. I'm from Brighton in the UK. I finally did it. Since being told to work from home back in March and discovering the podcast, I've finally subscribed to the YouTube channel for a few years now. I've made it a personal mission to listen to every single episode, and I've finally achieved that goal. So thanks for keeping me company during these last few months of home working. It's been interesting to hear you talk of times when COVID was not ravaging the world and discussing the 2020 Olympics, etc., knowing what was to come. I've got two questions for you, though. One is, do you think it's going to be possible or worthwhile to visit Japan in 2021? I'm desperate to go, but would be reluctant to have anything less than a full experience if COVID will impact this. Japan's situation seems to be a lot better than the UK, who seem to be positively fucked. So I wonder if UK tourists will be even able to visit the country. My other question is, when I do finally get to Japan, are there plenty of affordable meal options for those who don't eat much seafood? I'm teased by my mates for having a somewhat bland palate, but I was convinced to try sushi on a recent trip to Krakow. I'll be honest, I thought it was horrid, so I'm hoping there are plenty of other meat, noodle, rice-based dishes to get my hands on. Apologies if this is a bit lengthy. Keep the good work, gents. Dan. So yeah, is it going to be possible to visit Japan in 2021 for us Brits, Chris, do you reckon?
Well, we did discuss it, didn't we, a few weeks back. It looks like I've got a cough now. It's COVID. Yeah. God, it's either that or the coffee went down the wrong way. Or COVID, I'll let you decide. No, they are looking to open the doors to Japan in April next year. That's what we know right now. They're hoping to have all the systems in place by January to kind of allow people to come in and out, have all the testing in place. At the moment, people coming to Japan, the only people that can come are people with visas, Japanese nationals, and I think you have to quarantine at a hotel for 2 weeks or something ridiculous. So, but yeah, April next year, things are looking up. So fingers crossed, and that is when things are going to get good again, hopefully. As for food in Japan that's cheap, that isn't seafood, we talked about this, and sukiya is always a good one, isn't it? Gyudon bowl with a bowl of rice with some beef on top. That's, I think, about 400 yen, about $4. Ramen is often about 600 yen for a good hearty bowl of ramen. Or go to, where else
hell
is there? Go to hell. I'd have like
Dan. Get a burger or something. There's plenty of opportunities to eat chicken wings and stuff, isn't there?
Yeah, everyone's got Moss Burger. Moss Burger's all right. Got some interesting teriyaki flavour. I'd have like Dan brought up sushi in Krakow as not being good. I don't think. Krakow, I'm sure it's a beautiful city. I'm sure Pete Donaldson's been at some point.
I've been.
But I don't think they're well known for their sushi. In the same way that even London, I think it's hard to get good sushi in London. You've got to. Don't judge sushi if you've eaten outside Japan. Come Japan, go to Sushi Zanmai, my favourite chain, sushi restaurant chain, then judge it. And I'm sure you'll enjoy it a lot more. I think you'll like it. You like sushi, right, Pete? I know I've taken you a few times, but I'm not sure if you've truly embraced it yet. Do you like sushi?
Yeah, I like sushi. It's all very easy to eat. And to be honest, if you don't like sushi, just absolutely leather it with wasabi and soy sauce.
Oh, drench it. Drench it. My advice, go to Torikizoku. Torikizoku. It's a yakitori chain. It can be found at every turn in Tokyo. I go there for cheap drinks and dinner once every couple of weeks, and I love it. Torikizoku. Go there. You'll love it. Christina says, hello, Chris and Pete. Mighty and powerful gods. Wow. I'll take that. That's better wow. than the usual titles. Greetings from Canada. I love listening to the podcast. Keeps me dreaming of my next adventures out in the world. I'm currently planning my second trip to Japan, and I was looking to get some input from you guys, as well as share a funny story to go with it. My first time to come to Japan was with my mum. No tour guide or groups, with only a little bit of Japanese that I picked up from working around Japanese tourists and anime. We stayed at whatever hotels that were cheap that I could find on Trivago, in walking distance to our destinations and with a private washroom. I booked us an Airbnb for our first time in Hiroshima, and it was a very nice little motel about 2 kilometres away from the train station. We got to the station around 7 p.m, and since it was still light out and it was nice weather, we decided to walk with our bags instead of take a bus or taxi. And of course, halfway through, it started to downpour. When we arrived, I walked into the lobby, drenched, and tried to communicate to the host that I booked a room and needed a key while showing her the Airbnb message on my phone that she wrote earlier. She stood up and ran to the door, pointing to my mum outside while saying, "Kasa, kasa." I thought she was asking if that was my mum, so I responded, "Hi, Okasan." Yes, it's my mother. She chuckled and shook her head, grabbed an umbrella, and ran out to give it to my mum. That was the day I learned the Japanese word for umbrella. Is kasa, correct. That's a good word to know, that, kasa, umbrella.
It is, yeah. You'll need it.
You'll need it, especially if you come in July, like Pete did, or June. Our host was really kind, and I hope they're doing well and staying afloat during the pandemic. Now, for my next trip, I'm planning on going with my partner, and I'd like to book some really neat and interesting accommodations. Obviously, a traditional Japanese inn, Ryokan, is on the list, but this place called Book and Bed, caught my attention. Have either of you been? What unique and interesting accommodations would you guys recommend staying in? And what are the odds they'll still be in business after travel is permitted again? Many thanks for your help and all the great stories, Christina. Book and Bed. Have you seen Book and Bed,
Book
Pete?
Book and Bed.
Book and Bed. Yeah, Book and a Bed.
No. What is it? I've never heard of Book and Bed in my life. That's so weird.
It's kind of like a hostel where I think it's a cross between a hostel and a capsule hotel, and each of the capsules is inside a bookshelf. So if you look online, just type in Book and Bed Tokyo. I think my friend Aki Dearest, might have gone there, possibly. But if you like reading, you like books, and you want to sleep inside a bookshelf, Book and Bed. Book and Bed aside, there's lots of options. You know, you've got robot hotels, which are a little bit tacky, I think. They're kind of fun for one night, but you got to try it. Love hotels. If you get a good love hotel, it can be amazing. My first love hotel in Osaka had a cage in it. I love that cage. There was a love hotel with monkey bars in the video last year. I think one night in a love hotel can't be underestimated. And staying at a traditional inn, it's a pricey thing to do. Typically, it can be about $400 per night at a good traditional Japanese ryokan, but it does come with a phenomenal meal. Usually get like a kind of 3 or 4 course meal, and that is half the reason it's so expensive. What about you, Pete? Any standout accommodation, any places you kind of love to stay or recommend?
Just go to a weird Airbnb. There's loads of weird places in Airbnbs. It's usually weird kind of Airbnb. I've stayed in hostels in Kyoto where I've had a whole room to myself with like 60 million tatami mats. I've stayed in like hostels all around, not hostels, stayed in little Airbnbs all around Shibuya, pretty much all around Tokyo, all around Japan, to be fair. There's always weird places to stay. Mm. And they've always got a little bit of character. When I was staying in, was it Sapporo? No, I think it would be Fukuoka. I was in Fukuoka last trip, and I stayed in a hotel called, I think it was Hotel Beer, and it was basically a really cheap old housing complex that basically you could rent out by the day. It was very, very affordable, but every day they'd give you a little voucher for a pint of beer, which is nice.
Aww. That's lovely.
Lovely.
Simply lovely.
Do you drink beer, she asked, and I said, yes, I do.
I have a bonus voucher. I mean, that's really nice. On Journey Across Japan, the season we've just finished filming, we stayed in an alpine lodge in Toyama. It was a really, really nice lodge, really big. And also we stayed in a capsule hotel inside a shipping container, which was a lot of fun. And it had a hammock, bonus, and 10 capsules. And we could choose. Joey and I get to kind of choose which capsule we wanted to sleep in. And we chose the furthest capsules away from each other that we could. Can't go wrong, though. Capsule hotel and shipping container.
I like that a lot.
Got one here from Melanie. Do you want to take the final one, Pete? As I take the final
swig
of mine.
I'll take the final one, yeah. From Melanie. Melanie from New Jersey, recently graduated from college. My family, friends, and I were planning to do a trip to Japan in May 2020 after graduation, but sadly got cancelled due to COVID-19. I'm hoping we can all go next year around the same time. I've been watching the Abroad in Japan YouTube channel, never heard of it, and podcast, never heard of it, but haven't heard much about how to pack for a trip to Japan. I tend to overpack for every single trip, but have concerns about how much to bring for a two-week trip. Do you have any guys have any packing tips for a first-time traveller to Japan? Thank you guys in advance. And hope you both stay safe and healthy. I can barely speak, Melanie. I've clearly lost that particular fight. What are you like when it comes to packing? I've not really experienced how many suitcases you would take, Chris. I'm a very, very light packer.
I am a dreadful packer. I kind of just throw everything in a bag and I'm like, right, let's go. I'm so bad at using space. I'm really crap at it. It's like a disability or something on my part. Like I'm just rubbish at packing. It's really quite bad. But I would say what I found with Journey Across Japan is we had to take a lot of stuff, and I had a lot of clothes. But there are a lot of coin laundry places around the country. So don't bring clothes for every day. Just remember, there's lots of coin laundry around, and you can take half the clothes you need and just wash them halfway through the trip. Is that packing advice? I don't know. That's my tip.
You can get, especially if you're staying in Airbnb, there's usually a fairly decent washer dryer in pretty much every small Japanese apartment. But, you know, you just look on your Airbnb listing and you'll find, no doubt, there'll be one in the building. And also there's coin laundries everywhere. So, just pack really, really light and then just, you know, do some washing halfway through the trip.
I when you messed it up though, I think you said con laundry, and I just pictured this like con man. Conning people at the coin laundry.
Con laundry.
Well, a dog just jumped on my lap, and I was trying to deal with that, and a hot cup of coffee.
Fantastic. And on that note, keep the stories, questions, comments coming in to abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. We'll be back to do it over again on Wednesday. But for now, no matter where you might be out there in the big wide world, we'll see you then. Have a good one, guys. All the best.
Ruff, ruff. Laundry.
This was a Stakhanov production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.